Well, happy Mother's Day from me this time. And I'm going to get emotional again. We were singing that song at the beginning, well, second song, and it talked about, you've been faithful for generations, so why would you fail now? And I am a product, I believe, of six generations of people that love the Lord. And my kids will be the seventh. And my dad always told us that a parent's job is to give a platform for the children to rise up one level higher. So where I learn things in my life, I can spare my kids from having to go through that by giving them and leading them in the way that they should go. It's important. And you may be sitting there today and saying, well, there was nobody before me. But you know what? You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for someone that was praying. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for someone else that was praying. And I know when we get to heaven, whoever that person is going to be waiting for you. And they're going to be like, I was praying for you. I was praying for you. Look what God did. You know, I was thinking about my kids. Steve and I pray for their mates. So I know their mates are in the kingdom of God somewhere, thriving, because someday they are going to be a part of our family. And so that person has already been prayed for. Does that make sense? So maybe you weren't prayed for by a great grandma or a great grandpa, but maybe you were prayed for by your spouse's parents or grandparents or great grandparents. Amen. I remember my great grandma used to sit, and even especially more when she got older, and she would just sit and rock, and she would pray for all of her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids and her great-great-great. She would just pray into the generations that were to come. Amazing. Amazing, right? And God has been faithful through generations. Why would he fail now? That's why my kids can turn and tell me, Mom, why are you concerned about this? God's going to be faithful. Right? How can they do that? Because they've seen throughout the generations God's faithfulness. And maybe you're the first in your family. Guess what? Yes. Yes. That means you stand up and you speak to your family and the people around you of God's faithfulness, right? In Psalms, it tells us each generation should stand up and tell of the faithfulness of God to the generations to come. But if we don't tell, they don't hear, and so they don't know. Right? So we want to be those that tell. All that to say, I am so grateful for my mom and for the sacrifices that she made. I didn't realize it when I was younger. You know, you just take things for granted. She could have been anything, but she stayed home to be a mom to us and a mom to over 300 kids who didn't have moms. And it was a living testament to me, you know. We didn't have everything, but we still had lots of stuff, you know. And for me, it was the seed in my life that said, I want to be like that, and I want to sow my life into the next generation. So thank you, Mom, for all the things that you did without so that we could have. Thank you. I appreciate you. Give her a hand. One more. And then I married into a family with another wonderful mom. And so thank you for, you know, bringing Rose and I in and making us your favorite kids instead of your boys. I remember she'd tell us when we first came into the family, I always wanted a girl. Oh, and thank you for always spoiling us. That was fun. All right, now we'll get to the tithes and offerings. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Genesis 14. And again, we're going to see the faithfulness of God through generations. I didn't even think about it until I was just looking down, but we're going to be talking about Abram, right? And we're still receiving the blessing of him choosing God, right? We're part of Abraham's seed, so we're blessed because of Abraham, right? And we're blessed because of Jesus. We got all these kind of blessings flowing. You should just sit back and go, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed, right? And last week we read the story of when Melchizedek came and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. We talked about that was the first time that tithing was mentioned in the Bible. And today we're going to look over in chapter 15. Well, let's just read it again. We'll start at verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands." Then Abram gave a tenth of everything. That was the spoils of what they had just conquered, the nations that they were warring against. Then the king of Sodom, because remember this is a story where the four or five kings came in and took out Sodom and took all the people captives. And who lived in Sodom at that time? Lot, his nephew. Remember that? And so he went out, Abram did, went out and brought Lot back and brought back all the spoils as well. Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so you will never be able to say, 'I made Abraham rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." Chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So he gave his tenth, and then the vision came. And here's what God said. "Do not be afraid." Say that with me. Do not be afraid. This is the first time in the Bible that this phrase is mentioned. So we have the first time tithing is mentioned, and the first time "do not be afraid" is mentioned. Listen to me. This is awesome. This is what he says. "Abram, I am your shield," or your king, "your very great reward." Not your very great disciplinary. Not your very great abuser. Not your very great taker away from you. Your very great reward. Somebody say reward. There is a reward for being a tither. And you know what the very first thing is? Do not be afraid. I was thinking about this. If we could just grab hold of the fact of who God is in our lives, we would never have to be afraid again. In fact, you could live your life from joy to joy to joy to joy. And people would say, no, because there are things that happen in the world. Yes. There are things that happen in the world. But even in the midst of those things, you can still have joy. How can you have joy? Because you know what the promises are, right? He'll never leave you or forsake you. Is that true? That's what the word says, right? That's one of your promises. You will lack no good thing. Is that a promise? Yes, that's a promise. You'll have health and wholeness. He healed them all. Right? My God will supply all your need. Are you listening? That means no matter what you're going through, you can look at this situation and say, I know that God has a plan for my life. And it's a good plan. It's a plan with a hope and a future. And as a tither, he says he'll throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing I can't contain. It also says he'll protect my seed and he'll protect my harvest and he'll protect my children. It goes on and on and on. You only know that if you're reading the word to understand who he is, right? But we can say, "I don't have to fear," when you are a tither. Because you know God is always going before you. And Romans says he will always work all things together for the good of who? Those who love him and are called. Are you listening this morning? We can live in a perpetual state of no fear. I just gave you a key, right? You ever wanted a key that could just unlock things in the spiritual realm? Here's your key. Be a tither. Be a tither. It unlocks for you the kingdom of heaven. The blessings that God... P- people say God wants something from you. No, he is so trying to get you the key. And it'd be like me trying to give Paul a key and deny it. Just tell me no. No, come on, Paul, take this key. And he's pushing it away, right? God is trying to tell us the key is just tithe. Just tithe. And I have all this for you, right? I have all this for you if you just tithe. And one of the greatest things isn't things. One of the greatest things is living a life without fear. So when fear comes knocking, you can say, I'm sorry, nobody's home. Has anybody ever, no, okay, maybe we shouldn't do hands, but has anybody ever not opened the door when they knew there was a salesperson outside? Anybody ever done that? Oh, we do that at our house. Everybody gets deathly silent. Nobody moves. Right? This one guy, he kept knocking and kept knocking, and finally Lane went over, and I was like, no, no. I was watching something on TV. I didn't want to get up. I was like, oh, man, I just sat down. And he finally went over, and he's like, can I help you? And the guy was like, hey, I'm a pest control guy, and I was wondering if I could sell you pest control. Did you look at the vehicle in front of the house when you walked up to the door or what? You know, Lane's like, no, I don't think we need pest control. And he's like, thank you, bye. And I was like, why did you even open the door? And he's like, he kept knocking. But guess what? If the devil keeps knocking, trying to give you fear, you don't have to say yes. You can tell him, no, I'm sorry, I'm a tither. Wrong house. See this over here? There's a covering over this house. Because I'm a tither. Find somebody else. Not me. Not me. We don't have to accept fear when we're tithers. We quote to him. It says, do not be afraid. So I will not be afraid. But this is happening in your life. I don't have to fear. But what about this? I don't have to fear. But what about this? I don't have to fear. Now, sometimes this happens miraculously, like, boom, revelation. In my life, it's been a slower process of learning things, right? To where you panic first one time, and then you're like, oh, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry. And then something will come up a couple weeks later, and you start to panic, and you're like, no, 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 you almost got me. Remember that Simon Says? When you'd stand in line and in gym, I don't know if you guys did, but you stand in line in gym, and the teacher's over there, and like, Simon Says, take three big steps, and you go, one, two, three. And then they say, two, take two back. One, two, you're out, right? This is the devil, right? He's out there, and God's saying, you can do this. You can do this. Take two steps forward. One, two, and the devil comes up, and he goes, boo, take three steps back. You shouldn't be here. One, two, three, and we take those steps back, right? And he goes, ah, you're out. No, 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 no. We need to be in the Word so we understand whose voice we're listening to, so that we're only acting and stepping out when God tells us to. Does that make sense? And everything, say everything. Say it again. Say it again. Everything in this is for you. There aren't promises that you go in here and it says, okay, well, Shelley doesn't get this promise right here in this verse. That's not hers. No, no. That's not what God tells us, right? He's faithful to all his promises, right? And it doesn't stipulate if you're this, 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 and this. No, this is for all of us. And for tithers, we step even deeper into the blessing. Amen? Amen? This is so important. It's vital for us to connect the dots. The Bible is here for us to learn and to grow. And if you have two firsts in a matter of three or four sentences, that's a ding. Pay attention moment, right? Pay attention. Tither, don't fear. 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 Amen? This is important. Grab hold of this morning. So when the devil tries to come and rattle your cage with something, just... You must not have heard. I'm a tither. That doesn't work with me. He's laughable. I mean, literally, sometimes he's laughable, right? He'll different things will come up in your life, back to back even. Oh, look at what's happening. Look at what's happening. I had to tell him that this week. Our washing machine finally died, and we were blessed with it. We didn't pay for it the first time around, but I loved that washing machine. And it finally passed away, and all week long, the enemy has been telling me, see, look at that. It's gone. Now what are you going to do? You just had the van. You'd stuff. Now look at this. Oh, what are you going to do? And I love Steve. He goes, well, God provided the money for the van. He'll provide it for the washing machine and anything else that we need to do in the future. And so I got out and I said, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. God is faithful. So now we have a brand new washing machine in our garage, and God is faithful. Amen? So when you're tithers, don't panic. Just remind the devil he's under your feet, not you under his feet. Amen? So when we're tithers, we what? We do not fear. They don't go together. They don't go together. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today. I thank you for your faithfulness, God, to show us insights that we can live out in our lives from your word. And I just pray today, Father, against any weapon that the enemy would form to bring fear to any tither in this church. I pray, Father, that as they are in their homes or at their works or even in the grocery store and something rattles them or they hear something or they see something, I pray they would instantly hear the words, don't be afraid. And that they would remind the enemy, I don't have to fear this. Everyone else in the world might be affected, but not me. I'm a tither, and my God is faithful to all his promises. So no matter what he has to do, he will work this out to my behalf. We thank you, Lord, for blessing every seed that's sown today. Bless the sowers. I speak a hundredfold harvest on every offering that's given today. I thank you we are blessed to be a blessing because we are part of Abraham's seed. And Father, I thank you that we will have more than enough for every good work in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue today on this message entitled Heart Condition. And the foundation text has been Psalm 139, verse 23, which says this. Search me, O God. Somebody say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I wonder if that might be one reason why some people don't come all the way in to being saved, right? Because maybe I just don't really want to be known that well. I've heard people tell me that's why they don't, you know, they want it, some people attend bigger churches because they want to go somewhere they can hide, where nobody knows me. I want to go where nobody knows my name. And nobody knows really that I came. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Right? Never mind. The younger kids don't know what I'm talking about. Google it. Right? Anyway. But how many want this? You come to Jesus because I need a Savior, right? I need a Redeemer. I don't come to Jesus just to have some, you know, long-distance relationship with God. Somebody say, I came all the way, right? I stepped across the faith line. Amen? And we come to realize is that he knows us intimately inside and out, every part of us. And so in King David here, what a great prayer to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I mean, that's the kind of leadership we need. Amen? Whether it's male or female. Whether it's parents, whether it's teachers, whether it's politicians, whether it's business people, judges, right? Congressmen and women, senators, hallelujah, coaches, people in Hollywood, actors and actresses and writers and songwriters and singers. How many, if everybody just had that attitude, it would be better, the world would be a better place for children, for one thing. Amen? And so it's just a good thing to be coming to God every day to say, Father God, search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. And the word search again means to search out, to explore, to examine thoroughly, find out, search out, seek out. And thoughts means things like disquieting thoughts, anxious doubts, secrets. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. How many know who he's here to help me with? Is he here to help me with Shelley? Holy Spirit, help me with Shelley, please. She needs to be fixed. No, no, no. Holy Spirit, help me with me. Somebody say that. Holy Spirit, help me with me, please. Help me with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a lady once come to me that years ago, and she felt like the Lord showed her a sin that was in another part, another church member's life, and that's why he wasn't getting healed. And she just wanted to talk about it and talk about it. The Holy Spirit told me there's a sin, there's a sin, there's a sin. And finally we had to sit this person down and say, you know what? Don't be telling other people about that. I'm your pastor. Tell me about that. And now you've unburdened yourself about that. I can tell you that's incorrect. And your whole mindset on that is incorrect. And please don't talk about it anymore. You're wrong. And if you do talk about it again, we'll have to talk to you. We'll have another conversation. Well, guess what this lady did? The Holy Spirit told her to keep talking about it. And so she got a correction she wasn't willing to receive and moved on. Right? That's why they call us the sheepdogs around here, right? Because sometimes people just get goofy. The Holy Spirit, somebody say, the Holy Spirit is here to help me with you. No, no, to help me with me, to help me with me. Yeah, glory to God forevermore. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 talks about calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pure meaning clean, purified by fire. Free from every admixture of what is false. How many know it's possible to seek God out of an impure heart with impure motives? And that's what this whole heart condition series is about, is what are my motives in seeking the Lord? Right? He wants to know. He wants me to know what my motives are. Now, I've talked to him about this before. Maybe you have too. I've admitted to him, Lord, you know really why I believe I got saved? It's because, number one, I don't want to go to hell, all right? I simply do not want eternity in hell. Does that mean, was my heart wrong to say that? No. And Lord, because I want to be in heaven forever, in a place of bliss and joy and peace. Are those motives pure? I say yes. I mean, that's why I got saved. I don't want to go to hell. I heard E.V. Hill talk about this years ago. I don't want to go to hell. No water in hell. No light in hell. No friends in hell. No food in hell, right? Hallelujah. What? And Jesse says, what in hell do you want? Somebody say nothing, right? Hallelujah. I needed a redeemer. Somebody say, purify my heart, oh God. But when I come to Jesus as a license to live however I want to live, because the grace card, right? I can drink, I can party, I can do weed, I can fornicate, I can lie about people, I can be abusive, I can be hateful and spiteful and racist and whatever, because the grace covers it all. That somebody say, wrong motive. Wrong motive. Amen. Glory to God. Free from every... That's where false religions begin, man. You know, the story of, like, Joseph Smith. visited by an angel, so-called. How many know the devil is a fallen angel? Somebody say, test the spirits. There's new information now. They're talking more about aliens on planet Earth and things like this. And how many know whether or not it's an alien-looking thing or a demonic-looking thing or a friendly-looking thing, and what it says is just dripping sweet honey out of their lips? How many know if it goes contrary to the Word of God, it's this thing called a lie? And it's to be rejected every, now somebody say every time. Reject it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't add things to the gospel, like Joseph Smith, the example of the angel comes to him, so-called angel, and says, you know, there's certain things about the Bible that are incorrect, and all the other churches are doing it wrong, and I'm going to give you the rest of the story, if you will, and everyone else, that's why they call it the Church of Latter-day Saints. We're not picking on Mormons. There's some beautiful Mormon people, but they still need to be born again, right? But how many know you can't upgrade the Bible? There's no Holy Bible 2.0. And the Bible does not have errors in it. The error is thinking there's errors in it. Glory to God. How many know, hey, Lord, I am the error, okay? I'm the error. I'm the one who's in error, like Spock says, in error. I don't come to people saying, this book is full of errors. No, I'm the error. I come to this book to get fixed. This is the alignment tool right here, okay? I'm not the one aligning this. You see how crazy and backward the devil is? And people can get? Well, I need to move on this, right? Because today is Mother's Day. And we're not here to correct the women and tell them how wrong they are and how messed up they are and how you need to be covered and submitted to your husbands. And how dare you? How dare you tell us what to do, women? Oh, I heard it. Amen. Amen. No. No, no, we are blessed. The women are a blessing. And Shelley's right. I was supposed to be Cindy. But thank the Lord, I'm Steve. Amen. And we did get a dog named Cindy when I was little. And Cindy got busted. I remember we had one of those mom and dad conversations in the bedroom. Son, sit down now, Steve. This is before Randy. Me is BR, before Randy. But Vance and I had to sit down on the side of the bed. Cindy ran away. We're sorry. Come to find out years later, that's not what happened. Cindy was in heat, and every dog in the neighborhood was in our front yard. The dog patrol showed up and scooped Cindy up along with everyone else. And Dad said, bye, Cindy. Bye. But we couldn't handle the truth at that age. Oh, praise the Lord. Fun stories. Hallelujah. But let's get to the book of Ruth, because, you know, I don't have time to read the whole book to you, but it won't take you long to read it. 4 chapters. It's kind of like the Bible's Hallmark movie, right? It's a romance, and it's full of good things, and there's Mr. Right is in there, and, you know, all these kind of things. But Ruth, I want to talk about Ruth as a Bible hero. There's so many women in the Bible that are heroes of faith, and we could pick so many of them, but I just felt drawn to the story of Ruth, her love, her loyalty, her honor, her service. Really, it's we're talking about her heart, the motives of her heart. She was a diamond. She had the heart of a diamond. She didn't have a lump of coal heart, right? And Ruth chapter 1, I do want to read to you a good portion of chapter 1, right? So let me just read maybe the first, I don't know, 14 verses, and then we'll move into the teaching portion. But it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man at Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. The names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, they went to the country of Moab and remained there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Then they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman survived her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. And she said, for she had heard at the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. The Lord visited his people by giving them bread. The Lord still visits his people by giving them bread. Amen? He feeds you with the word. Amen? How many know it's good to go to a church that teaches you the word? Amen. Hallelujah. I believe you're in one of those churches. Right? Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi, verse 8, said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Hallelujah. And she said, look, your sister has gone back to her people and to her gods. Somebody say, and to her gods. Right? Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Somebody say amen, right? When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now, you can read the rest of the story. Most of you probably read this book. But this is an amazing story in the Bible. This woman had, you know, a book of the Bible named after her. And she is a Moabite. You should study about how the Moabites began. It's called incest. Lot and his daughters had children, and one became the Moabites. How many, it doesn't matter your race or what's happened in your past, it matters about what's happening right now and what you choose. And we see here two different hearts, where one person's heart was geared to come after God, and the other person's heart was geared to have some fake emotion and return back to her gods and her way of life. It's a good story of the heart. Amen. Ruth chose, it could have been the book of Orpah, but Orpah returned back to her life and her gods and all of that, right? But I want to examine closely about three or four verses in this book and look closer at Ruth's heart, right? And what God was looking for. Somebody say love, loyalty, honor, service. Right? That's the heart of Ruth. That was her motive. Her motive was not, what can I get from Naomi? Naomi had lost everything, at least in her mind she had. So Ruth clearly wasn't pursuing Naomi to get something from Naomi. She wanted to honor her mother-in-law, help her, serve her, embrace her gods, go with her back to her homeland. Abandon everything she ever knew. That's remarkable. A heart of service. This is the heart God is looking for, and it applies to men or women or anybody. Amen? But verse 14 says, in the King James, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Bye! Bye! Right? But Ruth clave unto her, and that word means to cling, to stick, to stay close. How many know we need to stay close to Jesus? Naomi is a type of God, Jesus, the Word, whatever you want, fill in the blank there, the Lord, right? And Ruth abandoned everything she knew to stick close to Naomi, to keep close, to stick to stick with, to follow closely, to join to, overtake, to catch. She was not going to let her go. And how many know that's the kind of intensity it takes a believer to have success living for God, is that type of, I'm not leaving you. I will leave everything I know, all the sins or failures or issues of my past, what even today, even the past 5 minutes. Somebody say, get over it, right? And stay close to the Lord. Follow closely after him. Keep close to him. And this is how she chose to treat her relationship with her mother-in-law, her former mother-in-law, her widowed mother-in-law, who could offer her nothing. But Naomi just had this knowing on the inside of her, I need to be close to this woman, right? Verse 18, it says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfast, this is the King James version, when she saw she was steadfastly minded, somebody say steadfastly minded, right? To go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So she stopped talking to her. And steadfastly minded means to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, stout, bold, solid, hard. And that hard even talks about a hardened heart. How many know a hardened heart to certain things is good? We tend to think of a hardened heart as a bad thing. But how many know your heart should be rock solid toward sin? Toward anything the Bible calls sin, I should have a hard heart and a heart that continues to harden toward those things. And Ruth's heart was hard toward the idea of turning back to her gods, turning back to her old way of life, turning back to the familiar, turning back and going back to her life that she knew before she knew Naomi. She knew there's something about this woman. I just need to be close to her, to help her, to serve her, to honor her. And just even the suggestion by Naomi herself to quit. How many know it doesn't matter who the person is that's telling you to quit. We need to be rock hard hearted toward the idea of quitting on God. No matter how it looks or how it feels or how long it's been. Amen. This is the kind of person that Ruth is. The motive that she displayed. The love, the loyalty, the honor, and the service. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 2, verse 7 says this. This is after she'd met Boaz, who, again, when she came to Boaz, she wasn't looking to Boaz to be her source. She wasn't saying, what can I get from this man, right? Her motive in coming to Boaz, and even the recent Torah portions, talk about this concept of leaving. Don't take everything off the ground that falls to the ground when you're harvesting. Leave things on the ground that fall to the ground for the needy, the poor, right? And so Boaz was being biblical. He was a man of honor, right? A great man of honor. And obviously substance, not just financial substance. How many know you can have finances and be morally corrupt? But he was a man of substance morally and financially as well. And he would do biblically what the Torah said, leave don't glean things off the ground. And he began to intentionally leave things for Ruth. He was watching her, and he knew about her. He found out about her and where she came from. He got the whole backstory on Ruth. Amen? And in verse 7, she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Diligence, right? And in verse 7, what I wanted to point out there, the word continued. She said, "I pray, let me glean, gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued. Somebody say, she continued, right? Even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. That word continued again means to stand, to take one's hand, to be in a standing attitude, right? To stand forth, to take a stand, to present oneself, to attend upon, to be or become a servant of. She had a servant heart. She was serving her widowed mother-in-law, providing food, doing what she needed to do, working through the day. She wasn't, you know, wasting time. Her heart was to serve. And if someone has that kind of motive in their heart to stand and keep standing and keep standing and keep standing, then I'll tell you this, you will stand out. Amen? The person that continues to stand and keep standing, no matter how hard it looks or how tough it is, will stand out. They will be a standout. That's a diamond-level person in the kingdom of God, right? Somebody say, keep going. Keep standing. Check your heart, right? I'm here to serve. Hallelujah. Amen. And in chapter 3, verse 11... again, you can read the entire book. Let's just read a few of these verses. This is, you know, Naomi now goes into matchmaker mode, right? she sees what's going on. Like and she tells her, go in and uncover his feet and lay at his feet. It's a Jewish tradition thing, right? And nothing immoral going on here. And because he is her kinsman redeemer, which means that by, you know, rabbinical law and all these things, that this man could take you as his wife because you're a kinsman of his husband, of your ex-husband that passed away, right? So all these things are in play here. How many know God's using everything in our lives to paint a beautiful picture? Right? Everything. Hallelujah. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Somebody say, it ain't over. I don't care how it looks or how it feels or how it sounds. I'm still breathing. This thing is not over. Right? So you just stay with it. Amen. Anyway, verse 7, let's look at chapter 3, verse 7. After Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. So she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. And it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Now you notice, I love, this shows us another thing about Ruth's character, love, loyalty, honor, service, but she was not bashful and shy. Right? She had confidence to ask for what she could rightfully have. Amen? She wasn't going to back away from this thing that God was putting in front of her. Amen? So many Christians get in the mindset of, oh, I don't want to be blessed. I don't want to prosper. I don't want to get totally healed because God just wants me to stay humble and contrite. No. If the word says it's yours, somebody say, take it. Right? So she wasn't going to wait for him to come ask. Hallelujah, right? And again, this is the culture of the time and all of that, right? And he said, who are you? She answered, I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. And he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness. Now, there is a good insight here to the character of Boaz. He didn't treat her like a woman of the street. Right? Blessed are you, baby. No. This is a good, I've heard Pastor George say this in terms of men's relationship with women. He says, God has put it in my heart to see every woman either as a mother, as a sister, or as a daughter. Now that's biblical. Amen, right? Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether poor or rich. Now, verse 11, here we go. And now, my daughter, do not fear, do not fear. Somebody say, do not fear, right? I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Hallelujah. Her reputation preceded her, didn't it? Amen. And I love in Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, I just read this morning, and there's actually a scripture that says, Proverbs 31, not Psalms, Proverbs. You got one more minute for this? Proverbs 31. Yeah, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. So see, really, the person who was getting the winning end of this deal was Boaz. And I hadn't seen that before. Boaz saw this as, this woman is priceless. This type of woman is priceless. Right? And here it says it again. When it says, my daughter, fear not, I will do for all you require of me, for all the city of my people know you are a virtuous woman. And virtuous is defined as things like probably a force, whether men, means, or resources, or other resources, an army, wealth, right? Virtue, valor, strength, ability, activity, a band of men, soldiers, a company, great forces, goods, might, power, riches, strong substance, valor, right? I mean, Boaz knew this is not a woman I will probably meet the rest of my life. This he knew this was an opportunity for himself. Obviously, he loved her and all of that, but that's the word virtuous. Boaz knew this, I cannot let this pass me by. Glory to God, right? And then look in, we'll close with this. Verses, chapter 4, verses 13 through 22, because you know they marry. And I just want you to see this. You probably already know this, but Boaz took Ruth, became his wife. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. The woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer. Somebody say, a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, to your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Right? In this genealogy of Perez, we got Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Man. And Jesus is the son of David. So literally, the Redeemer himself. Talk about riches and wealth and valor and strength and honor. All the things we're talking about came through this woman's, right? Her heart. The motives of her heart and her willingness to lay her life down and go after Naomi with all her heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that. Virtuous, a force, resources, an army, wealth, strength, ability, a band of men, soldiers. Talk about, I mean, literally the kingdom of God was coming into the planet through this woman's choice, this Moabite who came from incest. Do you see what God can use? And so that should tell Steve, if God can use somebody who's been through that type of thing, he can probably use me too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he is limitless. Glory to God forevermore. We receive it today. We receive it today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just pray and thank the Lord for his words to us. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word to us today that we see in the book of Ruth. She is a hero of the faith. Oh, we praise you, God, for her willingness, her heart. And God, we just ask you to give us hearts like that, Lord. Hearts of loyalty, of service, of love, purity, honor. That we would come after God with that same intensity. To choose you, Father, over anything this world could ever offer. As you are truly the best thing there ever is, Lord. We lay our lives down, Lord. We turn our hearts away from the issues of this life. And we turn them to Jesus. And we will seek you every day, Lord, with all of our hearts. Just like the scripture says, we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And we give you the praise now. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.